If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel according to Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Not 19 through 25, but 1 through 8. Mark 13. Let us hear this word of the Lord. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, with Thanksgiving just around the corner, we have a lot to be thankful about. It's many people's traditions, including mine and Bonnie's, our family, you know, to go around the table. And well, actually, we get up from the table. It's about 20-some of us. My sister-in-law's farmhouse, big kitchen, buffet-style dinner. Got several tables set up. First, we gather out into the other part of the kitchen in a big circle and join hands, and we go around and give thanks for something. We go around a circle a couple times. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Today's on the calendar is Bible Sunday. Certainly, we can be thankful for the Bible and all that it means for us. My goodness. It has brought structure, organization, direction to our lives. It has helped us talk about salvation and lead people to Christ. So today, we want to say thank you, Lord, for the Bible. It's much more than just instructions, though, isn't it? There was a fellow who was in a rush to get somewhere on a dark and stormy night. He jumped in his car and he took off driving across country, speeding down the road, lightning flashing, thunder rolling, rain coming down. He came around a bend, and there in his headlights on the side of the road were two men standing there holding up a huge sign that said, "The end is near." And the man skidded to a halt. He put down his window and he yelled out his window, "You're a couple of nuts." Put his window up and he took off down the road. A moment later, there was a loud crash. And the men looked at each other. And the one man said, "Maybe we should change our sign to say, the bridge is out." The bridge is out. The bridge is out. Here's our warning sign. It's our warning sign. Some people will pay attention to it and some people won't. Some people will ignore it. Here we have in Mark 13, the disciples were impressed with the building, the temple. Magnificent structure. Just as I was impressed with Irwin First United Methodist Church, I tell you, when I was appointed here, I'd always had nice churches, very pretty churches, not overly large ones. My last church, big red brick building, then across the street was a fellowship hall, and then across the street from that was the office. So it was pretty impressive. Nothing like this. Wow. I tell you, everybody that sees this, you know, just beautiful church, hear it all the time. You know, and I kind of say, yeah, I know. It took me a while to build it, but, you know. But it is gorgeous. I still, to this day, you know, even after a couple of years, going on 3 years, when I round the bend and come down the street and I look at the beauty of the outside, the architecture, it is a gorgeous church. Like Jesus was saying, though, it means nothing. It means nothing. Jesus said that not one stone would be left on another, because that was the prophecy. And in 70 AD, in order to put down a rebellion, the Roman soldiers came in and tore down the temple. Oh, it got rebuilt eventually, but it was torn down, fulfilling that prophecy. But man-made structures mean nothing in this world, because they're not going to last. Jesus said that the world is going to come to an end. Kind of sounds like Chicken Little sermon again. But here in Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and deceive many." Has that happened yet? Has anybody come around claiming to be the Christ and led people astray? Oh, yeah. Big time. You know, an old situation, Jimmy Jones, Guyana tragedy. Over 800 people. You know, he come in and convinced them that he knew the way, he was their salvation, and all they had to do was drink poison and die. A lot of other people, a lot of evangelists have gone across our country and into other countries and deceived many people. There have been people who have been wonderful pastors, so everybody thought, and then it finds out that they were molesting children. A lot of people have been deceived. It's going on today all around us. So that's happening. And then Jesus goes on to say that when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Has anybody heard of any wars? Yep. Has anybody heard of rumors of any wars? Yep. Mideast, Korea. Boy, I tell you, the world's a mess. And Operation Desert Storm, I think, or Iraqi Freedom, I'm not sure which one was the Desert Storm was for first. Anyways, it was right in our living room. It was right there on TV. We got to watch the tracers going through the skies and smoke rising from explosions. Tanks hurtling across the landscape. It was brought to us firsthand. Wars and rumors of wars. That's going on all around us. But he says that don't be alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. It doesn't have to be war. It could be over trade issues and political things. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. Have we had any earthquakes yet? Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of earthquakes. There'll be earthquakes in various places and famines. Now, in our technologically advanced world today, with modern science, the way we can create food, do we still have famines? Yep. Yep, if you're paying attention to the news, there are famines all over the world. People starving to death. That's why we're always collecting food. That's why we have a food bank, too. But there are places that don't have those. People, children, dying, starvation. And Jesus said that these things are just birth pangs, the beginning of birth pains. Tracy earlier read from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. 19 through 25. And the beginning of that, beginning with 19, talks about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father. that Jesus is our intercessor, our high priest. Jesus is our salvation. We know that. We've learned that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through him. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. John 3:16, which we all love so much. We know that. So the beginning of Hebrews chapter 10 is about that. And then it says in verse 24 and 25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Do you know what it means to spur? When you think of spur, you think of what? Horse. Yes. Booting a horse in the sides to give it motivation and encourage it to go faster and do what you want. The Word of God is saying, let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds. So we are to motivate each other to do the loving thing. We do that by saying, hey, don't talk that way about that government official. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Pray for them. Be a Christian. Overcome evil with good. Okay, remember that. We encourage each other to do that. Don't be gossiping. Don't talk about that person behind their back. Pray for them. Good deeds. Come on, let's get involved. We need help. Let's join that committee. Let's fill out that clipboard that's going around. Let's spur each other on. And why do we do it? Because it's what the Word of God says to. What else does it say? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. I'm speaking to the choir, right? You're here. But we need to encourage those who aren't here to get here. Because the Bible says not to give up the habit of meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It said that over 2,000 years ago. They started the church after Jesus was resurrected. And it says that they went out and they preached Jesus Christ to everybody. And they taught lessons. And thousands were added to their number every day. Thousands. There was a church explosion. And people sold what they had and they brought it to the disciples to be used for ministry and in the running of the church. But a lot of people said, this isn't for me. Don't want this. Not going to go. Too busy doing something else. They had excuses and they didn't gather together. Even in Jesus' day, they got out of the habit. And so it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. If you read this, that word day is not little d. It's not talking about daylight. It's big D. It is talking about an event. And the event that it's talking about is the day of the Lord, judgment day. Because the angel said to the disciples, why do you men of Galilee stand around here looking up? Jesus will come back the same way he left. And one day Jesus will come back. And it'll all be over. This world will come to an end as we know it. There won't be one stone left on another. The warning has been given. There's more, it says in Mark and Daniel, Matthew and other places, Book of Revelation, about the signs of the end times. Mark goes on to say that the gospel needs to be spread to the ends of the world. And it says after that happens, then the end will come, Jesus said. That excites me. That's why I'm such a fan of Gideon's. That's why I'm such a fan of any ministry that is spreading the gospel. And they're doing it in wildernesses, in far-off lands where there are native tribes, and I don't know how much longer it'll be. Nobody knows. Jesus said, I don't even know. Only the Father in heaven knows when the end time will come. But we know this. We've been warned. Jesus said, you'll know the season. We're in the season, aren't we? The things in the Bible are all coming true. That's because it's the Word of God. The sign has been held up. And it's not saying the end is near, it's saying the bridge is at. We can only go so much further before it's all over. So we've got to spur one another on to choose the love of God in all that we do and to do good works, to meet together. Our tickets are already punched on the right train. So when that day comes, we know where we're going. There's a lot of folks out there that don't. So be thankful for your salvation and show your thanks to God by sharing the gospel message with somebody else. God loves you, and so do I.